Right, folks, you're listening to the Johnny Hero Show here on U105. And I told you the great bit about this job is to get to speak to a lot of your heroes. And today we have Dave Hill from Slade. Dave, how you doing? Can't believe I'm talking to you. I mean, it's surreal. It's like one of those, if I told my mates 30 years ago, you know, I had a dream I was speaking to Dave Hill, it would be, yeah, dead on, you know. But having seen you on TV so many times, you know, are you aware, really, of the impact you had on millions of people?
Made more aware since I've been touring and getting out and about in the last 20 years of the impact that actually we did make on not just England, but across Europe and Russia and places like that. And, of course, sometimes, obviously, when you're travelling about, people spot you. One of the big things I tend to get is like someone might come to me and sort of say, Dave Hill, just thanks for making my youth great. And it's like that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's sort of being part of a growing period in a major part of your life, coming from school, possibly into your first job maybe, but certainly at school. And so you might come off stage, I mean, I have many times come off stage saying, thanks for making me feel young again.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, it's what it's about, isn't it? It's about memories, it's about songs, it's about growing, and the excitement of life. And I think because we come from such a good time, in the sense of the kind of music we played, and the image of the band,
yeah,
especially in Russia, was paramountly important to their early days of not supposed to be looking at us particularly, but really enjoying the image and the whole bit. And Russians are very passionate about our music. We would not have known that in 1973. We wouldn't even know they were listening. But I've been there many times.
It was a real symbol of rebellion in Eastern Europe. It really was.
Yes, I think it was. I think it was, as they say, it was a window of hope. That's what they thought.
As you said earlier, it's about the memories. I mean, if you were to mention Squeeze Me, Please Me,
I
remember sitting with my mates around the radio waiting for the new chart to come out, as you did.
As you did.
It was like waiting on football results. It was really, really important.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, Slade's new one isn't in the chart because it, you know, they used to go from 20, 19, then up to 10. It's not in. And then, wow, it was straight in at number one.
I know, that's a bit of a wow, isn't it?
You know, and so, but, you know, so millions of people were round the radios listening to see
how you
were doing, you know?
So were we.
Were you just as excited as the rest of us then?
Oh yeah, because you had the word, you know, that you'd done it.
Brilliant.
You had to hear.
Yeah.
Either, I don't know who was actually doing the chart, whether it was Tony Blackburn or Alan Freeman or one of them, but the chart rundown, I think it was a Tuesday chart.
That's
the one
right.
You're referring to.
Yeah.
And we just had to make sure by listening to it,
yeah,
it exactly took place, you know. And of course, Top of the Pops is on the phone, you know, we want you in,
yeah,
flip sharp, you know. And then it all just happens from there, and you're ready with your costumes, and, you know, I'm ready to, prepared to get on that television program, because, I mean, everything was ruled by Radio 1 and Top of the Pops.
If you didn't get on Top of the Pops, your record sank, really.
You're dead in the water, aren't you?
It's
sort of like, there was nowhere else to go. There wasn't MTV, and there wasn't a lot of other things you could do, apart from regional television programs, such as, you know, Granada, or up north in Newcastle, or indeed where you lot are, because you had your own televisions.
Yeah.
But the major program that you were all watching was Top of the Pops, and everybody was sitting around watching that. And of course, the charts, you're quite right. It was almost like, you know, waiting for the football match or something. You know,
yeah,
it was, what's going to happen, you know? And the importance and excitement of it. I remember when I first had my first hit record, we were in London, and Chas Chandler said, I think it was just got in the 30 or something. And as we were driving down the road, we had to pull over because it was about to be played. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
There's no way we could be mucking about in London in a traffic jam. We'd have to pull over. Yeah. And I reckon any band worth their salt will tell you, or even the Beatles will tell you, they would have done something like that.
Yeah.
Just hear the sound of the record, really.
Yeah.
And of course, when we had our first number one, which was 'Cause I Love You, I mean, that was just something else. That was our first number one, which is always the one, isn't it? It's a bit like your first car, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, you've broken the ice.
So, to be top of the charts, not just somewhere down the mid-end, but to be top of the charts, nobody could take it away from you. It was just after all the years that you've worked for it as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, nowadays a song coming straight into number one is commonplace.
Yeah.
But in your day, you really had to shift some units. You don't know. 10,000 copies gets you in the top 10, something like that.
As far as a number one was concerned, we'd certainly be shifting around 500,000 in total, probably over a period of a few weeks. I mean, there was no way that you'd be you'd possibly have a chance at number one without you were doing that sort of sale. That, I mean, records will come in and out the charts today on a few hundred that are sold.
Yeah.
But in those days, there's no way you'd even enter the top 40 without you sold at least 5,000 or 10,000 anyway, because records were so important to people, and there wasn't really computer games. People were buying music en masse and being affected by the telly and the Top of the Pops and the Saturday club show. You probably saw those.
Yeah, you see, I have these conversations I do a show called The Golden Years, and we'll feature a different year from way back when every night. But it is all about the memories. But what is quite clear for people is that the music was... It seemed to be far more important for teenagers back then than it is now. As you say, there weren't really any other distractions. You had your music and that was it.
No, and also you had your vinyl, which obviously... there's still a love affair with that, and it's a real tactile feeling that when you saved up to buy your 45, or certainly had to save up quite a bit of money to buy an LP, and actually when you went and got it, you got a large piece of hardware, if you know what I mean. You got the vinyl, you put it on, you know, you've got the cover and all the information and a picture, and then you're listening to it, and you go through it track by track, don't you? You know, you go through a period of a ritual of playing it to find out what each song sounds like.
Listen, and the sight on a Saturday afternoon about tea time, everyone coming back from town, going home, and everyone would be sitting in their seat in the bus, reading the gatefold sleeve of whatever album they managed to buy.
Yes, that's right. It was like, I suppose it was... It was your connection with others, like-minded people, who become part of a sort of an important sort of movement that it's a bit like the old jazz cafes, you know, when they used to go into those CD cafe bars and people were always into jazz music and all that sort of thing. There was like a whole sort of roster. I always remember when I was young, there was always a roster of people that would be buying blues records, like Eric Clapton would have been.
Yeah.
Part of that, and there was a ritual to go in round each of their houses to play something they got imported from America, or you know, because as you say, records and imported songs were a sort of joy to behold in the sense that there was a lot of imagination. Today we're in a time where imagination is less. Information is immense, but there isn't any knowledge, if you know what I mean. In other words, the idea of discovering something, or you know, or going and rooting through a shop or trying to, was all part of the deal. I mean, it's not like you want to Google something, or you're instant access to everybody these days. It's a bit like going down the road and being spotted by a satellite, you know.
Yeah.
In those days, when I was young, going in the wood was somewhere that was a mystery, you know. And I think with music, the element of discovery, because I remember Nod and I, we used to go to Birmingham, this is before we made it, we go to this record shop, and the guy there always knew about imported records, say, I've got this from so-and-so label from America, you know, it's just come in and you've got to hear this, it's by, you know, Lightning somebody, Hopkins or some, yeah. you know, some unusual name, or Josh somebody. And we go upstairs and we play this record in a booth. and you play it in a booth to listen to it and go over the fact of where you're going to buy it at all. So you had an opportunity to listen to it. You know?
Oh, yes.
And that's what it was like then.
Yeah, no, we used to have it there. But as you say, it was the whole experience.
Yeah.
And then years later, you're still enjoying the song and you remember how you discovered it.
Do you know, the other day, I went down to a garden centre yesterday.
Oh, don't be saying that, Dave. You're just destroying the whole rock and roll.
Oh, sorry about that, know? Mate. I was there for a coffee.
Yeah.
They do a spot of Costa, which I'm a bit of a fan. So I went down there and there was a few little... Although I didn't go in the garden centre, I went in the coffee shop. And as I wandered out, there was a little retro place, you know, with some strange-looking radios.
Yeah.
And I just wandered in, and he got the Everly Brothers playing on vinyl.
Yeah.
On like a Dansette record player, which most of us had in those days.
Yeah.
And it sounded great. I said, doesn't that sound great? Just coming out of a single speaker, you know, no stereo, mono, you know, just coming out the speaker with all the warmth, not about thumping bass, low-end crash-bang wallops. It was all about the tune, you know, and it was just a joy to see the thing spinning round with a needle on it.
Yeah, you know, as you say, but it was the whole experience, very tactile, you know, so all your
tactile,
senses.
And
then you
it,
even
yeah.
had to, you put the stylus onto the record, it was a whole, and then pray that the copy you'd bought in the shop didn't skip, you know.
Yeah.
It was just terrific. Listen, I know you're out on the road again, yourselves and Sweet. I've already had Andy Scott and I told him off because there are no dates over here.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, not as yet.
I mean, you can't do a British tour without going to Ireland, can you?
Yeah,
I mean,
well, you know, there have been thousands of people over here complaining, so maybe some promoter will get on board and bring it over, you know.
I've certainly done Belfast before. Yeah. I've done Dublin. I've done a lot of places in Ireland. But I've no reason there was any particular decision made that we couldn't. There was obviously something to do with logistics, but the point is, this is the second tour we've done together. We didn't do Ireland on the first one. I knew there was something bandied around about the date, but it didn't come off. And I think it's just purely timing. I think sometimes you have to get things organised beginning of next year. If we do this again, I'll definitely make sure that we do Belfast next
year. Yeah, time. Good man. Listen, I've got to finish up. I need you to pick a favourite Slade song. Go on, give us one to play out on.
Favourite Slade song would be How Does It Feel?
Oh, what a tune. Yeah, what a tune.
Yeah.
Brilliant. From that was in the
From
film,
the
wasn't it?
Film.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
Flame film.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
A much loved song, and Noel Gallagher really likes it, and he's all mentioned it to me. And, you know, it's just one of those songs with a lyric in it that never sounds dated.
Yeah, it is a terrific song. Listen, Dave, thank you very much for your time
thank
today,
you.
Sir.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, pleasure talking to you.